parts I don't understand or the parts I just flat don't want to go with.
Mm-hmm.
And Barb, I've been raised around a lot of scissor Christians. They had the scissors out on a pretty regular basis, cutting out the portions that they didn't want to go with. Can't do that. You got to go with the whole conscience of the word.
That's right. Some of you say, well, you're talking about an Old Testament concept and I'm in the New Covenant now. Well, hang in there, hang in there. We're going to talk about the New Testament. And here we're going to talk about a tithe that was mentioned before the law. And that's very important. This tithe concept, or giving of the 10%, or with a grateful heart giving thanks to God with the produce or the what they got from their earnings for the year, they gave to God with thanksgiving. This was way before the law. And we're going to see the first instance of that in Genesis 14, 19 through 20. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine to Abram. Now remember, Abram wasn't even Abraham yet. He had not been given his new name of Abraham. He was still Abram. After a victorious victory, Abraham led his servants to a victorious victory over five kings that had taken Lot and all his possessions and most of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this king of Salem, and he's mentioned also in Hebrews 7, Melchizedek. He had no mother or father, no beginning or ending. So we see a Jesus type here. We see Jesus coming out bringing wine and bread. And that's so symbolic of communion also, Darren, the wine and bread to give to Abram. But here he says, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of all. That's gross. Now, so many of you say, well, shall I give net or shall I give gross? Well, this was 10% of everything that he took, all the spoils. This was gross. And we know that Melchizedek is a priest to God, and he represents God on this earth. And he is mentioned in Hebrews 7, 1 through 9. This explains that the sons of Levi collected a tenth from the people, or a tithe, which is one-tenth.
I think when it talks about bread and wine here that was brought out, that's really a precursor in a sense, or a type of a communion here. And some of you, if you really want to grasp what we're saying here, you might want to set out the elements at your house, meaning that you get out your grape juice or your wine, whatever your custom is, and your bread, and you bless the bread to be the broken body and the blood of Jesus, the wine. Then you take that and ask Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit to give you a revelation. Folks, if you ever catch this revelation, you will never be in want again. God does that in our ministry. We're a tithing ministry because we know, number one, it's commanded of the Lord. We give in joy, and we tithe every week, at least a couple of times a week, because the income here comes in through the mail on Tuesday nights, special meetings that we do. So we have income coming in. So we tithe, and we stay tithed up all the time. And frequently I ask Barbara, are we all tithed up here? Do we need to give more alms? Do we need to give more gifts? Because it pays off. We want our ministry to be healthy financially, and praise God it is. That allows us, for example, to pay our air bill all the time. It also helps us to know how to pray for our power partners and our listeners, because we want them to operate by revelation. We want them to be healthy financially at their house. And when they're healthy, then the ministries will be healthy. And it just goes round and round. I mean, the dollars circulate, and at every giving instance, there's a blessing, intersection of blessing. And I like that, Barbara. That's the way it works.
That's right. It sure does. We see here with Melchizedek and Abram that Abram is the one that instituted this thanksgiving to God. And in thanking God for this great victory, he brought a tenth of all he had. Now, if we have hearts, grateful hearts and glad hearts toward God who sent us Jesus Christ into this world, who forgave all our sins and didn't just cover our sins, he takes them away as we confess them, then shouldn't we have a grateful heart about that? We most certainly should have, Darren.
Well, right after this situation with Melchizedek, in Genesis 15, here's really the payoff. In a dream, God spoke to Abram and he said, or in a vision, he said, don't fear, Abram. I'm a shield to you, and your reward will be very great. God is saying, I'm going to defend you, and your reward for your sowing, I believe, is going to be very great. Uh-huh. It's laid out there at the very beginning here of Genesis, where God and man are having having a relationship here over sowing and reaping and over protection.
Yes, I agree. And if you want to read more about Abraham and how God loved him, God loved him, called him a friend of God, in Romans 4, and this is probably the greatest book in the New Testament that Paul wrote, bringing the old into the new, completing the old covenant and beginning the new covenant. And here is Abraham, the father of faith, and God speaks of him so highly that his faith was reckoned as righteousness. Now, he's not an Old Testament concept. Abraham's a New Testament concept, and his giving to God carries over from the Old Testament to the New Testament because it was pre-law. And I believe as he had a sincere and a grateful heart towards God, we must also have that same heart attitude, Darren, towards God and our giving towards God. And so in this transaction, we see that tithing that began before the law is an outward sign or an outward expression of an inward attitude of the heart. And that's why he was called the friend of God. And Darren, I really would love to be called a friend of God. I believe that would be the highest compliment or the highest thing anybody could tell me, is that they knew me as a friend of God's.
Well, you know, Barb, we've talked about this several times in the last couple of years particularly, where things may not be quite going our way. Now, habit patterns from the way back there would say, I wonder about my giving. It used to be that I had to repent. There were times when I was a tither, but did I tithe on time? And did I tithe regularly? And sometimes when you say sickness attacks your household or something terrible comes about, one of the first things you start doing is say, boy, I got to clean up my act here. Lord, do you know I'm going to increase my giving, or Lord, I'm going to start giving, or whatever it is. We don't have to say that because we're tithed up and we know the enemy cannot come through that doorway because God is keeping his word to us and rebuking the devourer, and we see God's protection and shield on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And many of our acquaintances have just crazy things happen at their household, and we're protected and shielded from that because of God's blessing.
Well, I've noticed, Darren, when we have tithed, and I have tried to be very accountable to that and have a clear conscience before God. But I have noticed when those months when we first started doing this absolutely regularly, that I would, and at the end of the month, I would pay the tithe. We had a far less month of prosperity than we did on those months where we paid right up front all the time, every time. And I see a trend there that as we paid at the very last, we didn't get our needs met as much as when we pay the first fruits. And you who are listening can say, I don't believe that. But it is absolutely true. And we've tried it over and over and over again. I've tried it over again in my own life, in my own personal life. And I have found that it is so true. As you give to God first, he will take care of that because it closes the door to the enemy. Your giving closes that door to the enemy and what he can do to you.
What you're saying is you need to stop the negotiation.
That's right. The negotiation.
In other words, there's not going to be a mental argument or any consideration or trying to say, well, let's see here. How else could I do this? No, trust us. Trust us. Try it. And watch God just come forth for you. And there are times, Barbara, when the numbers, and both of us are good on numbers, but the numbers do not make sense.
No, that's right.
And you can't go. Romans 8:6 very clearly says, the mindset on the flesh or on reason is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. You want to get into life and peace? Make a decision. That first 10% is not mine. Man, I wouldn't touch that, because some of you, honestly, that listen to us today, have been stealing from God. And you need to stop and repent and say, Lord God, I didn't realize how profound this was. Please forgive me from stealing from you. I will never do it again. I will give you the first 10%, which is your money, and I won't be caught stealing from you ever again. Mm. And then accept by faith, you're confessed by faith, and then accept forgiveness by faith and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to get up and go on, but you will always get your due first. Now, that means that you pay it first before you pay the light bill, the gas bill, the credit cards, and the house payment, and on and on.
Well, and you're so right, Darren, because reason will not bring you the answer. And in 1 Corinthians 3:20, Paul says of the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise that they are useless. Now, if you try to reason,